Amen. Got your Bibles. Bill, I am going to do Ecclesiastes, okay? But we're at Easter, and I got a couple things on my mind right now that I'm going to deal with. And I want to tell you, the devil may fight you tonight, but let me say something to you. If you allow God, he'll just let that opposition make you sharper. Somebody help me preach. Sometimes we need it to come out of our little cave. Am I preaching? We need some adversity to draw us out. And I thank God for it. I'm not a complainer. I'm not one of them people that is negative. I'm positive. I thank God for what he's done for me. But I've got a word study now. How many's got a Bible? Show them to me if you got one. I would ask you to do me a favor. Just don't sit there like a knot on a log. I want you to follow me in the Bible. I'm going to take you on a Bible study, but it ain't going to be real effective if you don't go with me. Hello? Amen. How many of you like preachers that will say, well, right there it is. Yeah. Amen? Right. I don't want to say, thus saith this guy. This guy will say, thus saith the Lord. Yeah. But I want to talk about a word tonight. I'll do a word study. I'm going to go to five portions of Scripture if I have time. If I don't, it don't matter. I'll get what the Lord wants me to get out of it. But let's go to John 12 for a moment. And I want you to go to verse number 32. John 12, 32. There is a word that I am going to draw to your attention tonight. Then I am going to expound it. And I'm going to teach from it. And I'll give you several passages that it's used. And I want to help you with it tonight. But the first one I want, since we're around Easter, I love Easter. I love this time of year because everything's springing to life. And I want you to know I'm glad when I got saved, everything sprung to life. Woo! I'm saved by the grace of God. Now look at this passage of Scripture. I'm going to deal with a lot of things tonight. Y'all know I got a lot of junk on my mind, so I done made my mind up. I'm going to start teaching you a little bit about some of this junk, but make sure you don't fall into the junk. Amen. I'm tired of seeing people fall by the wayside. So we're gonna preach tonight. Look in verse number 32. Jesus speaking. And I'll preach a little bit about the his triumphant entry Sunday because I don't want to tell you. But the context is as he's coming into Jerusalem. And now he's going to be glorified. And now he's saying, my hour has come. I want all you to know Jesus came into this world for one purpose. And that is to die for your sin. And I want to talk about Calvary first of all. And a word tonight. The Bible said in an eye. Not Buddha. Not Muhammad. Not the Pope. Come on now. Not a cow who you think might be your grandma. But I, if I be lifted up from the earth, listen, will draw all men unto me. This he said, verse 33, signifying what death he should die. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by him. And I want you to know there is something on scale about the cross, about Him being lifted up. And that word, the word I'm preaching on tonight is draw. There's something about that cross. It has a drawing appeal. And what that word draw means, is it means to pull with power. There's no greater power than the power of the cross. And by the way, I'm not talking about it. There was 30,000 people crucified around about that time. But many crosses, but there's only one cross. Because there was one man that got up on there who was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that went and died for you. Amen. Somebody help me preach. Amen. And I want all y'all to know this. I'm going to slow down. But I want all y'all to know this. His death was for all men. Now, I didn't know I was going to be faced with some of this junk. But I want all y'all to know something. Don't leave out here thinking that God only died for a certain group of people. No, He died for all men. Somebody help me preach. That's what He said there, didn't He? And by the way, the cross is the only thing that could draw men to Him.
Amen.
You said, preacher, why'd you get saved? And you know, a lot of people say, well, I didn't want to go to hell. But low scale, I knew I was going to hell. But when the fact of His death was revealed to me, that He would die for a low down hell like me, it drew me to Him. Let me quote a verse. Chad, I like this verse. For the goodness of God worketh repentance. Now, I could preach hell tonight, and I do, and scare the fire out of you. But I want you to know something. Before He saved me from hell, He saved me from sin. Somebody help me preach. And the cross of Calvary, 2,000 years later, still has an appeal. Still has a draw. Still is effective. There's still power in it. One passage said that He made peace through the blood of His cross. We were all far off. But Chad, we were drawn near Him. We were pulled near Him. By the cross. Somebody help me preach. I'm going to go on. Let me show you something else. Turn with me to 1 John. Y'all mind following me a little bit tonight? I want to go on with this a little bit more. I want y'all to see this. Then I'm going to talk about an issue or two. Turn to 1 John. When you get there, say amen. Go down to verse number 2. Go down to verse number 2. And I want all y'all to know I'm going to do a series on Sunday night on why I'm not a Calvinist soon. But not tonight. Though I may hit it a little bit. Are y'all there?
Yeah.
Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
My little children, that's you. These things write I unto you that you sin not. When God saved you, He didn't give you a license to sin. And if any man sin, and we will, even though we don't want to. If you're saved, you ought not want to sin. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen. Chad, is this true of us? And He is the propitiation for what? Who sins? Who? Our sins. But listen to this. Now, y'all tell me, just class, you're not dumb bunnies. Look what He said. And not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, Anybody got any brain about you tonight? Tell and answer this to me. Did he make a distinction between the unbeliever and the believer? What he said is, believer, you have the propitiation for your sins, but it wasn't just for you, it's for everybody. Now, I'm going to give you a little revelation now. Is it okay I talk a little bit and just take it easy? One of the ten that's... you got a pencil? There's a movement out there, and I'm discussing it a little bit, and I'm going to preach a series on it, on the 5 points of Calvinism. And one of the points is limited atonement. Limited atonement. How many of y'all would like to know what... they got what they call a tulip religion. I got a book in my library called A Wilt of Tulip. And when you start studying it, it is wilted. Amen. It's just as dead and dry. But I got to tell y'all something so y'all hear this. Are y'all listening? How many's got your antennas up? Amen. Now hear me. We call these people Calvinists. Called John Calvin, 586, somewhere in that matter. I may have a few years off. Came up with his system. He built the fence for the tulip religion. But I'm going to tell y'all something you might not know. John Calvin, let me go over what the tulip is. You want to hear it? Total depravity. But they don't believe in total depravity. They believe in total inability. What that means is you can't do anything. You're dead like a corpse. And I'll prove that wrong later. Then unconditional election. He elects a few to be saved and elects a few to be lost. That's what they call double predestination. Some going to hell, some going to heaven. And it's all determined by God. And by the way, Chad, the more I study about this group, the more angry I get. Because they even blame God for the original sin. Right. And the sins that's going on today. I want you to know man was a free moral agent and he chose to get in sin. Amen. And sin is because of Adam. Amen. God didn't purpose man to sin. You're telling me a pervert that would rape a kid? You blaming that on God? You gonna blame what happened in Colorado and those 10 people killed on God? I'm blaming on where the blame should be lied, on the devil and on sin and on man's arrogance away from God. I'm gonna lose my head here, good Lord. I ain't got time to get on all that tonight. I'm going to give you all this one of these days. Where was I? Total inability. Unconditional election. What it means is you don't have any ability to trust God. And he elects this group. And by default, the other group is elected to hell. Hello. Now, the third one is what they call limited atonement. AJ, here's what that means. That means that he did not shed his blood for everyone. Because that would be wasted blood. And here's what they say, not me. They say if Jesus died for the whole world, then Calvary was God's greatest failure. I want y'all to look at me right in my eyes. Calvary was not a failure. Calvary made the blood available for everyone. And I want you to know, you won't get me mad. You won't get on the wrong side of me. You start telling me Calvary was a failure. Was not a failure. Help me preach. Amen. Now listen carefully. Now, when I say listen carefully, what does that mean? Listen carefully. When I speak about lemon tummy, now I want you to hear this. Everybody get it now. God's atonement is unlimited in its availability. It is available to all men. It's unlimited. Right or wrong? Now listen to this. Just careful. I'm being careful. But it is limited in application. Say, what do you mean? It's limited to whosoever believeth. You're not going to be saved without you trusted Christ. Amen. And I know that crowd says you can't believe Christ and you can't believe on God and you can't do it. You've got to be regenerated first. I'll teach you on that in a minute. See, if you die and go to hell tonight, it is because you reject that blood atonement. Am I right, Chad? Because it is available to you. You say, but I don't have it. It's because you have not received it and you have not rejected it. But don't tell me it's not available, because he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Amen. And I'll give you rest. Amen. Y'all getting this?
Amen.
See, don't come over and tell me that I chose you to be saved and you to be lost. And you to be saved, and I chose you to be lost. I don't believe that. Because the death of Christ draws all men to him. Amen. See what the death of Christ does? It brings us all to a place where we've got to make a decision. Isn't that true? The blood of Christ, him high and lifted up, causes us all to come to a place where we've got to make a decision. It has a pulling power. It has, good preaching. It has an appeal about it. Yes, it was terrible. Yes, he was beaten beyond recognition. Yes, he was pulverized. But it's something about somebody who gives his life for mine. Can somebody say amen or shout? You know, Allison McKay's here tonight. I'm proud of her. She's doing a good job. Allison, if I believed like they believe, I wouldn't buy a tract. Why? If it's already settled, why have them? It's going to happen anyway, ain't it? Help me. Allison got a track that she wrote. She got T-shirts with it on. I don't know if she has multiple X or not in it. But I'll tell you what her T-shirt says. And her track said, that little black track, one of the most glorious tracks I ever read. It said, whosoever. See, I'm going slow. I know I am. He died for all men. What I preach from Sunday? Who will have all men to be saved. What I say, not willing that any should perish. Do you really believe he wants you to die and go to hell? Do you believe there's a certain part of humanity he wants to die and go to hell and be damned and burned for hell forever? No wonder David Hunt wrote the book about the countess called What Kind of Love Is This? Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the love that comes from my God. Amen. My God said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. How many remember the day where you fell under Holy Ghost conviction? Amen. Saw your sin. Saw a loving, caring, wonderful Savior. And said, there's just something about that that draws me to Him. How many of y'all remember when you got saved? Amen. Amen. Did y'all feel like me, clean all over? Did y'all feel like, man, the weight of the world had been lifted off? Amen. Did y'all sense that your sins were now gone? Amen. When the scoffers come and ask me where they're at, what would we tell them, Lois? They're all gone. It's all under the blood of Calvary. Amen. They're gone. Amen. Several years ago, when I say several, I mean like 46. I was brought back to my own hometown, Sissonville, and to a particular residence called Wolf Pen. Anybody ever been to Wolf Pen? Raise your hand. And the only reason you probably went there is to get you a car part. Because God knows there ain't nothing else up there I want. And if I go there, I'm packing. Hello? Let me take you out there for a minute. But anyway, I was preaching. Can't think of the name of the church. It's right up Old Pen, right before you go over that mountain. Somebody might even be able to tell me where it is, the one it is. I don't know if it's Elizabeth Baptist or not. It's one of them out there. But anyway, I was invited, and there was two of my guys that I played football with came to church that night. And I want you to know why they came. They came to mock me. They came to mock me. They did. And when I first went in there, they were both making fun. They said, "We remember what you used to be. We remember how wicked you were. And now you go up here thinking you're a preacher." Oh, they gave me a hard time. I got up and started preaching on this power in the blood. And I watched them as the word went out. The word of faith was preached. I watched their attitude start changing. Because what I done was, I didn't tell them about how good John Smith was. I told them about a wonderful Savior that died on Calvary for them. And I noticed something happening. I noticed a big tear come down one of them boys' face. And then I noticed the other boys looked at him, and I can read lips. And he said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And the guy looked at him. I saw his lips. He said, "I'm going to hell. But I don't want to." And the boy looked at the boy and became the other boy's soul winner. Because the other boy said, "Well, I don't want to go either." And I thought I read his lips and said, I don't want to go without you. I can tell you that's true. And I want you to know, all I'd done for 30 minutes was lift up Calvary. There, they crucified him. That place that was preordained, that same place that Abraham went up to offer Isaac, the same place where David went to the threshing border of Ornan, that is a place called Calvary. It's a skull place. It's called Golgotha. It's an ugly place. But it is a place that has drawing power. Not because of just the place, but who died at that place. Lord, have mercy. I thought some of y'all be running the house with me. I'm about to run them myself. If I wasn't so fat, I would. I want all y'all to know, Jesus was the preordained Son of God. He was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. He was predetermined to die. He came in. He didn't come into this world to sightsee. He didn't come in this world to look at things. He made them all.
Amen.
No. He came in this world to die for your old wretched sin. Let me, Chad, I'm slowing down. I may not even get past point one. Can I? Would y'all go with me one more verse, and I'll try to go to point two, but I'm having a little difficulty getting there. I really want there bad. But go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. When you get there, say amen. Still look at it. You said, what wrote you, preacher? For he hath made him to be sin for us. More than just a substitute, Chad. He was made sin. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now listen to me. He was made the drug addict on the cross. And he can redeem any drug addict. He was made the adulterer on the cross. He was made everything we were. And if that doesn't draw you, if that doesn't bring an appeal to you, ain't nothing else can. I could tell you lovely stories, but the cross wasn't a lovely story. It was a brutalizing death, but he was made your sin. Tell me what your sin is. Say it in your soul. You know what your sin was. He was made it.
Amen.
Not just took my place, but became, took my sin. Hold a minute. Young man, you got me stirred up a while ago. Turn back to Colossians. I really meant to do all five of these. Do y'all care if I come back to this next week? Y'all won't get mad, will you? If you do, you ain't a real good Christian. Let me see if I can find where I'm going. Colossians. Where is Colossians? There it is. I'm looking for my place. Y'all just be patient with me. Where is it, Chad? Oh, here it is. I don't have this in my notes. I'm just following God tonight.
Amen.
Every bit of it. Turn to Colossians 2:13. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Y'all there? How many's there?
Amen.
Look at verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, I'll cover that next week, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Listen to this. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And you know your passion play. I like your passion play. And you know when you got all them demons up there dancing, carrying on. I thought, well, some people might say, well, is that scriptural? Somebody help me preach. Who you think principalities and powers was?
Right.
That's them demons.
Amen.
And you know what it done? You know why the cross is so attractive and so drawing? He spoiled them. He defeated them.
Amen.
And he nailed your sin to his cross. I may do this again. Several years ago, I brought in an old rugged cross in here. And I brought me a thing of nails, little nails, and a hammer. And I had people just come up around that cross. You remember? How many remember that? And nail that thing that was there. Nail it. Nail it. He blotted them out.
Amen.
I'm forgiven.
Amen.
You said, how far? Listen, as far as the east is from the west. You said, where are they? They're in the sea of forgiveness. Blot it out. I don't think about it anymore. I don't go back to my past and look and say, man, I'm bothered by what I used to do. Why should I do that if they've been blotted out? Why should I carry guilt of things I'd done before I was saved? Why? If they were blotted out. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, how many here tonight, perhaps you don't have to raise your hand. Perhaps you still let the devil bother you about stuff you've done when you say unsay. Do you? There's a hand raised. At least you're honest. You're not alone. See, the devil will come up to you and tell you all kind of bad stuff about how bad you used to be. But I want all y'all to know it. Those sins are gone. They're blotted out. He nailed them to his cross. So why would you even pick them up? And why would you even worry about them when they're all gone? You ask me why I'm happy? I'll tell you why. My sins, they're all gone.
Amen.
And you can say what you want to say, but there is just something appealing and something draws me to someone who gave his life for mine.
Amen.
Bow your head with me. Somebody, Chad, you come up and play something. I don't know what happened to Lois. Hope she's all right. How many of you know you're saved? Raise your hand high. Hold them high. Thank you. How many not sure you're saved? If you're not, just raise your hand and say, pray for me. Anybody? How many right now, you don't mean to let it bother you, but the devil reminds you sometimes of what you were. How many right now just say, pray? Yeah, I see a hand. I see it. I see it. Can I say something to all y'all? He's defeated. And you do not have to go back and relive what you were. Because he's done blotted them all out. Stand with me. Maybe you're here and you get defeated sometimes because of that. Won't you come tonight? Just say, I'm claiming what he's done. And I'm looking forward and I'm not looking back. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.